Blog Talk
Radio. Good evening.
I stroll through the pictures, what I've left behind. You want again. I'm locked up in memories, they all intertwine. The memories in my mind. I know tomorrow, 'cause that dawn will come. You will never know just what you have done.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Stop Child Abuse Now radio show, brought to you by the National Association of Adult Survivors of Child Abuse, also known as NASCA. That's NAASCA. It is Wednesday night. It is special guest night, just like Mondays and Fridays are. And as always, our special guest night means that we have a special guest who will share their story or a portion of their story or whatever it is they want to share tonight, because this is their time to share what's on their mind and to enlighten us on where they are and what's happening in their lives. I do remind you that as we bring in our panel members, and yes, we do bring in panel members, which means people that call in to area code 646-595-2118. Again, 646-595-2118. When you call into that number, you will be put on our panel. And our panelists come on about every 15 or 20 minutes during the show and have some interaction with our guests, keeping your focus of your conversation with our guests on their story. We do understand that you have a story and that it may relate in some way to theirs, and that's wonderful to share that. But let's do keep our focus on special guests and what they're sharing with us as it relates to their story. I will initially bring in each panelist and have them say hello and share a few words if they'd like. And I always do this before, though. I will then also, before that, introduce our guest tonight, our special guest, with a biography of theirs, or a short synopsis of their life based on the information that I'm giving before the show. So with all of that being said, I will once again say that if you would like to call in, we would love to have you on our panel. The number for the call-in is 646-595-2118. If you've never called in and you're not certain how to do when you get on, call in and just tell my co-host when they get your name. I would just more comfortable just listening tonight. At least take that first step towards getting your voice heard out there, because that's what's changing what we're doing, folks. That's what's changing the trauma that we experience as children, is the voices that are being heard now by turning up the volume of them on places such as the Stop Child Abuse Now radio network, brought to you by NASCA. And again, my name is Charlie Stecker. So let me go ahead real quickly here and give a little introduction about our special guest this evening. And then I'm going to go ahead and bring in each of our panel members. Okay? So tonight's special guest, Penny Saum. Now, Penny, please forgive me if I messed up your last name, and I do take redirection very easily, and so you're welcome to fix that if I did mess up. And I'm probably going to mess up the city you're from as well, so maybe it's a doubleheader for me tonight. So she is from, I'm going to say, Puyallup, Washington. And boy, did I probably destroy that. She is a returning NASCA family member and a survivor of sexual and emotional abuse from infancy to 18 years old. Wow. She now runs a new nonprofit organization known as Brave and Unbroken. Her perpetrator was her biological father. Sneaking into her room at night when everyone else in the house was asleep, threatening and violent, he had total control over Penny's life. She says, there were many days I would contemplate, why me? Well, it wasn't just me. He was abusing others as well. My brother, my mother, and a couple of my cousins. He played games. She goes on, now my life is no longer controlled by him. I just want to share that you can have a life too. There are days when it's still so fresh and painful and overwhelming. Times when I wish I could go back and get some of my childhood back. Then there are many other days that are just normal, everyday days. My life has involved a lot of hard work. I want you to know you are valuable. You are worthy of a good life, and you aren't to blame. Pivotal in the federal bill, Child Abuse Accountability Enhancement Act. Again, I'm going to repeat that. Penny was pivotal in the federal bill, Child Abuse Accountability Enhancement Act, being passed into federal law. She has also been an advocate and player in changing the statute of limitations in the laws in Washington State regarding sexual assault. She states, I am advocate and change maker, but most of all, a voice seeker. I want voices of the abused to continue to get louder and more. I want to change the way the world looks at child sex abuse and abusers. Time for eyes to be wide open. And that is our introduction of our special guest, and I'm going to say extra special guest tonight because he's been on with us in the past. Penny, before I bring in each of our panel members and introduce them to you, I do want to say, wow, does what was written about you resonate with me? Turning up the volume is something I've done most of my life and will do the rest of my life. So, yes, that is how we're going to change things, turning up the volume to deafening decibels so they not only have to hear, they have to listen, and hopefully penetrate their little brains that haven't been doing anything. So thank you, Penny, for being here. And now, without further any ado, whatever the ado is, besides what I find on my bushes in the morning, I'm going to introduce each of our panel members. I'm going to, again, invite you, if you are listening, we would absolutely love to have you on our panel. The guest call-in number is 646-595-2118. Call in and become part of the panel. Have your voice heard by turning up its volume. So here we go. Let's start off in no particular order, except how they are on my screen. We're going to start off with Jo from Oregon. She's our ambassador out in Oregon and does many, many things for NASCA. Jo, good evening and welcome.
Hi. Hi, Charlie. How you doing?
I'm doing okay. It's been a rough few days. Had a dear friend pass away suddenly, Mother's Day morning at 48 years young, and we still don't know why, but life. Good. Life is good, and we continue to press on. And you know, now we have another. I have another angel looking over me.
Thank you. All right. Well, thanks for sharing that, and bless you.
Absolutely, Joe, and thank you for being here, and thank you for your gentle nudge reminder call. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Next, I'm going to bring in the world famous, the one and only, the man who was given the vision of NASCA and created it. Our president of NASCA, Bill Murray. Good evening, Bill, and welcome.
Charlie, thanks for doing the show tonight. Appreciate you being here. And, of course, Penny Salm, appreciate your being here. Penny is a previous guest, and I had a hole in the schedule for tonight, which actually we're filling up the schedule pretty quickly now. But the scheduled guest for tonight actually had a heart attack or a stroke or something. She was in the hospital as of last weekend, so didn't feel she'd be up to it to fulfill the obligation. We will have her on a future date, but Penny stepped in last minute yesterday, and I'm delighted that she's returning. So thanks very much for the show to you and Penny.
Well, thank you, Bill, and thank you for grabbing that vision when it was sent your way and turning it into what we now have today known as NASCA.org. We appreciate you and love you, brothers, and that is to life. Next, we're going to head to Washington State. We're going to say good evening to Penelope and bring her on to say a few words.
Oh, thank you, Charlie. Thank you for welcoming me. And to Penny, I think it's Salm from Puyallup, Washington. And by the way, Charlie, you pronounce Puyallup much better than I did when I first moved here 22 years ago. There are a lot of cities named after tribes and our Native American tribes, and I had a really hard time with Puyallup, so you actually did very well. But Penny, welcome. I'm so looking forward to the show tonight and to hearing about your story and all the great work that you've done in advocating for the rights of those affected by child abuse. And I'm actually I'm thrilled to hear that you're in Puyallup because I'm in Bellevue, Washington. So we're neighbors. Anyway, I just want to thank you for coming on. I'm looking forward to the show. Thanks, Charlie.
Oh, and thank you, Penelope. And how about that? And I'm just going to have a little fun with the name of the city. So it's Puyallup. Puyallup. I got it now. Oh, what am I doing here? Charlie is just messing up the board. There we go. Okay. Now we're going to head to New York State, and we're going to bring on Mary Ellen out of New York. Good evening and welcome, Mary Ellen.
Hi. Thank you for having me. First time calling in, so I'm pretty excited to be here.
Well, we are so excited to have you here, and thank you for being a first-time caller and making that call and getting on the panel, and welcome. And I guess I can say I have another sister in New York now named Mary Ellen. So welcome, Mary Ellen. We look forward to your input.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. And again, so excited to have you here, and we appreciate you taking the time to call in. We're going to head from New York on down to the southern state and talk to our friend Darlene out of Tennessee. Good evening, Darlene, and welcome.
Good evening. I look forward to hearing Penny's story. She's a real fighter. I read more on her page and all, and it's very interesting. I had been sexually abused since birth as well, so we have that in common.
Well, as always, thank you for being here, Darlene, and I'm certain you and the other panel members are all going to have amazing input and conversation this evening with our special guest, Penny, so thank you. Folks, one more time for those who haven't called in, if you'd like to call in, our call-in number is 646-595-2118. We do welcome you to call in. My co-host will reach out to you to get your name if we don't have you on our list already, so that way I can introduce you properly. With all that being said, and with Penny being so patient, waiting in the wings for me to get her on the air, let me go ahead and fire up Penny's mic and get her out here so she can share with us what is on her heart to share this evening. Good evening, Penny, and welcome.
Thank you so much.
And thank you for your patience with my... Go ahead.
Yeah, no problem. The first thing I want to do, talking about the city or the town that I live in, Puyallup, is I just want to gratefully acknowledge that we rest here in Puyallup on the traditional lands of the Puyallup people, where they make their home and speak the Lutheran seed language. So I just want to make acknowledgement to the indigenous land that we are on and where I'm located.
Wonderful. And thank you for enlightening us and Native American history and Native American spiritual beliefs are something that I follow. So I appreciate that. And I will definitely be learning more about that after the show when I do some research.
Sounds good.
So welcome. You've been on the show before. I understand from what Bill shared with us a little while ago that this kind of came on you yesterday and you're here today. And means you have some knowledge and understanding of how this works. I tend to allow my guests, our special guests, to kind of run the show unless they need me to kind of give them little nudges along here and there. But seeing as though I've read about you so far and you've been here before, I'm just going to let you take it away unless you need me to do anything to guide you along the way. So share with us what you will and what you feel is on your heart to get out this evening.
Okay. Thank you very much for that. Yes, I've been on the show before, and I have shared my story. So I'm going to be brief about the story part and be more involved about the efforts that we have going on in this area and actually across the nation with a couple other things. And just some important information about the current state of the world that we're in and the definite uncertainties that we're all experiencing. So my quick history is, yes, I was abused sexually and emotionally by my biological father. He was a U.S. Army military officer, and he did molest and abuse and rape me from infancy to close to age 18, and I always thought I would take that to my grave. I didn't know what that looked like, but the threats and the grooming made it nearly impossible to feel brave enough to be able to talk about it or bring it up to anyone. And a couple of times, like most children that I had, it was shut down pretty quickly just because it meant something different. For instance, telling a youth leader that my father loved me differently than fathers love other daughters. And then simply was the response of, but fathers love their firstborn daughters just in a different way. It's just deeper. And so as those kinds of things happened over the years, I just continued to shut it down and find different ways to deal. And then fast forward to 91, and this is after, you know, we're military, so we lived in multiple locations. I was born in Japan. We moved to Texas. We moved to Maryland. Then we were in Germany for a while, and then to Washington State. And the molestation and the rape and the abuse and the manipulation was occurring in all of these locations and all the homes that we lived in, as well as family homes that we were visiting. So then fast forward to 1993, the fall of 1993, and I got an urgent. At this point, my biological father and my mother were separated for other reasons, and I got an urgent call from my mother to come home from work immediately. And as I drove up to the driveway, my brother and my mother were sitting in the window, the dining room window, which is facing the front of the home. And I knew that something was just horribly wrong. And as I walked in, my mother began to try to get the words out that our biological father had been abusing my brother. The difference was my brother was being physically, emotionally, and sexually being abused by him. And neither of us knew of each other. And my mother didn't know about any of it. Hindsight's 2020, so there's some things now that, well, she's passed away now, but that she would, you know, acknowledge that, oh, I didn't realize, because she was also being abused. And so to anyone out there who's thinking, how could a mother not know, when you're dealing with a grooming, violent, manipulative, calculated, military-trained officer, or any abuser for that matter, female or male, they're good. They're really, really good. And it's very, very possible, and it has happened, and it did happen in my situation. So I walk in, we have the conversation, I'm told what's happened, I'm in shock, my mother's in shock, and I couldn't in the moment tell her. She was so devastated. So a day or two later, I was able to get the words out, and my mother, unusually, most women in this situation who have children in this situation, the detective told me later that 90% of them side with the abuser. And my mother, in her weak and frail state, stood tall and did what she needed to do for her children. And so the police were called and reports were done and investigation was done. We are now into January of 94, and he is sentenced to 17 and a half years in the state of Washington. Exceptional sentence. Due to the activities that he had done. That was an interesting, powerful day. My brother, you know, he was brave. He was able to say the words. He opened a door for me to be able to say the words. And I don't know that that would have ever happened otherwise. I don't know what that would have looked like. And we were able to stand in a courtroom and say what we needed to say. And that doesn't happen for every survivor. And it was a powerful day, and he served 11 years of a 17 and a half year sentence. And it's been a journey. It's been a trial by fire at times, and effortless at other times, and not so fun at other times. But what I can say and what I do know is that as adult childhood abuse survivors, that we can be successful. Healing is possible. And there's so many resources and tools and communities out there to help with that. And so that's one of my big messages, is that everyone has an opportunity to heal and have the resources. It's not as easy for everyone. Everyone's heart is different. Please plug into the resources that you can get your hands on. Plug into a good friend or family member or one of the community organizations on the internet, like NASCA or Brave and Unbroken. We're here to build a community and help you. And I think that's really vital.
I couldn't agree with you more. It's absolutely vital. And I'm not a military brat, per se, as they call us. Although my father did serve and retire from the military, I was raised in foster homes and orphanages. But I'm also prior military myself as a veteran. And I definitely can understand and relate to the things you were saying in the control. And I'm very glad in the beginning, as you shared what was going on, you made mention to the fact of a lot of times the mother or the other person, be it in most cases, it's a mother, where that people will go, well, they should have known what was going on, you know, and they should have known in the family. And that's not really true. I mean, it's, and you shared that very clearly. And kudos to your brother for being able to finally say, you know what, I'm not going to let fear grip me anymore. I'm not going to allow this to continue. I need to say something. And then the ripple effect, if you would, that has had on you being able to, and other siblings being able to share, and other family members, as your bio shares with us, and the strength it gave your mother. And man, if I could give your mother a huge hug, I would do that right now, that she stood up and said, you know what, and as again, you shared so clearly and correctly that most of the time the mother wouldn't do that because of many different reasons. And it isn't, not a lot of times it isn't to protect the abuser. It's what, where am I going to go with my children? How am I going to provide? What are we going to do? And so they tend to, you know, shy away from doing anything. And what an amazing inner strength that your mom has. Obviously it goes into your brother and you, and wow, just amazing. So thank you for sharing that with us. Would you mind if I brought in? Oh, you're very welcome. Would you mind if we did our first round with each of the panel members?
No, that's okay. Go right ahead.
All right. Give me one moment, and I will get them in here. I just got to get my iPad back over here where I can see it. Okay, here we go. All right. So I'm going to bring on Joe initially. Joe from Oregon. Joe is our ambassador for Oregon. She also does a lot of the coordination for shows, bios, and many other things. Joe, you are on the air with Penny.
Hi, Penny. I was born in Tacoma, Washington, and I'm an Army brat. So I've got a lot identified with you. And I can understand how you would keep that if you were thinking that you were the only one being abused. And but then to find out that someone else in your family was too. And it was very brave of you to actually tell your mom. And I bet you were supporting her as she took that big move to call the police on her husband, on your father. Right?
Yes. Yeah, for sure. She was, I think probably like most mothers, or even a lot of abuse people, she was very meek and quiet and had so much guilt and devastation that it took a lot for her to make it through each and every day.
Yeah. Well, thank you for being there for her too, because she probably thought she was the only one being abused. And it's just, it's sad for her to find out the whole extent of it. And I'm looking forward to hearing more, especially about your work with the federal bill and your organization. So thank you very much for sharing. You're doing great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Joe. And I second what Joe said. And I failed to say this earlier. Let me say that as I do prepare to bring on our other panel members. I look forward to the day when organizations like NASCA and other organizations similar to NASCA no longer are growing, which means we've actually been able to stop or slow down the rate of children growing into adults who then become adult survivors of child abuse. So that maybe there'll be that day, if we be so blessed, to not have to be able to, not be able to find a guest because there's not someone out there that has had that experience. But in the meantime, here we are, in support of one another. And while we don't like our stories per se, it's the outcome of the stories that's the impact here. And Penny, your outcome is just amazing already. And I like Joe, am really looking forward to learning more about the Child Abuse Accountability Enhancement Act. I'm going to go ahead now, and we're going to bring on Bill. He might know him. I think he knows something about NASCA. Let's get Bill on here.
Thanks, Charlie.
Hey, you're welcome.
Yeah, everybody here is excited that you're back, Benny. And I'm delighted to represent you because a lot of folks didn't see you the first time around, didn't hear you the first time around. So I'm glad you went over some of the highlights of your past, of course. And I'd also like you to include how you kind of got into recovery. But we do want the bulk of the show to be beyond that point, you know, from that point on, let's say, and about the solution and so forth. And I know you're ready to talk about that as well. So, again, thank you so much for your honest sharing and being here tonight, filling in for the guest who, you know, unfortunately had a medical problem and couldn't show up. Thanks again, Penny.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. And I didn't mean to gloss over the fact that our original guest for this evening's show wasn't here, and I didn't mean to leave out, and I alleviated, and I apologize for that. I will ask each of us in our own way, however we do it, be it prayer, meditation, thought processes, whatever we are, put up some good vibes, energy towards who was supposed to be our friend, our special guest this evening, although we have a very special guest, as we know. But do send up some of that energy, prayers, and how you do it. We don't necessarily need to know their name. We just need to know that someone needs that energy sent their way. So, again, please forgive me for not doing that earlier. Penny, I'm going to go ahead and bring on Mary Ellen out of New York now. Mary Ellen, you are on with Penny.
Hi, Penny. I just want to say thank you for sharing your story, and I'm eager to hear what you're doing and the help that you're offering to people. Sounds like you've been full of accomplishments. I'm excited to be here and hear your story.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mary Ellen. And Mary Ellen, we're excited, first-time caller calling in this evening, having her voice heard. And Mary Ellen, don't be shy. If you have a story to share and you're ready to bring it out, make sure you reach out to us here at NASCA. Let us know, and we can get you on a special guest show where you are the featured special guest. So thank you for being here this evening again.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Next, we're heading out to where you are, Penny. We're going to go right up to Washington, and we're going to bring Penelope on. Hello, Penelope. You are on with Penny.
Hi, Charlie. Thank you. Hi, Penny.
Hi.
Wow. Hi. As you were telling your story and the history of your experiences growing up with your father and just your brothers, you know, coming forward and your obviously your mother and just all the details. I was overwhelmed. Fortunately, some of it resonated with me. Some of it did not because my father was never held accountable for his crimes. But I was so overwhelmed, I could almost not breathe. And wow, just I want to say thank you for sharing that. And my heart just bleeds for you as a little girl and for anybody that's experienced child abuse in any form. So I have a lot of questions. I will ask you one. Maybe Charlie will grant my wish and allow me another question, but if not, I'll stick with the one and hopefully we can kind of circle back around to me for round two in the panel. But it sounds like your father roughly served 2/3 of his prison sentence and he is now a free man. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct.
Yeah. Wondering, well, if you have any, or he has tried to have any contact with you, or what the nature of your relationship is, and or how that affected your healing moving forward, if it did at all.
Sure. Zero relationship, a lifetime restraining order for my children and myself. But I did have an opportunity a year ago left to face him face-to-face for the first time after 25 years.
Wow. Well, I'm glad that you have those protections.
I'm sitting here in a wow.
Yeah, I'm glad you have those protections in place, although, you know, we know that the scars are there and the triggers are there. no matter what protections are put in place, whether we put them there ourselves or someone else puts them there for us. But, well, I just, if I can have a second question, and maybe this will, Charlie will want to, you know, put this forward in the next round, but I'm looking at your Brave and Unbroken website, and I'm just really curious as to the vision for your organization. It looks like you've just amazing, amazing work, and just your vision for it, and in terms of involvement from others and growing and its growth in terms of how others can maybe help and get involved.
Yeah, thank you for that. We're actually reimagining ourselves right now. We just recently, at the beginning of this COVID time in March, was able to acquire our nonprofit status in the state of Washington, and working to expand that nationally. We have we have an acronym that kind of leads our work, and that acronym is HEAR, like I hear with my ear. So healing, education, advocacy, and responsibility. And our website is going through an overhaul right now, and then we'll literally have those four tabs only, besides the media piece. And everything that we do needs to fall in line with those four categories. And we're working on a stage performance that we were in the middle of, and had done a live reading with an audience right before COVID time. And so we've been doing rewrites on that, hope to launch that in September or the fall. Worst case scenario, next spring. We're working on our own child abuse prevention training. We have a lot of advocacy work in place, and that's moving forward, which we can talk about. And then peer support. We have some folks that are interested in helping and supporting nationally and also locally. So we'll be doing some online peer support groups. So if everyone, you can sign up for our newsletter on the website, braveandunbroken.com. We will have the new website launched within the next 2 weeks, and that will have a whole volunteer sign-up page, as well as, you know, funding support. Right now, the Brave and Unbroken memoir is free, and we're doing that to the end of May. We did it through April for Child Abuse Prevention Month and want to continue that because it is getting in the hands of some folks who do not have the resources otherwise. So we have a lot of efforts kind of mulling around, a lot of things that have been moving forward and a couple steps back with COVID, but we're excited to move forward. So if people are interested, they could email me off the site, braveandunbroken.com, sign up for our newsletter, and definitely get plugged in. We're going to need a lot of help and partnerships with other organizations. So there's a lot of good work going on.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing. And yes, I'm on your website and I'm looking at your memoir. And actually, I tried to email you and I was not able to, but it could be because I'm on my iPad and I just had a software upgrade. But I did subscribe to the newsletter. So that was simple to do. So thank you. So I just want to let you know I'm having a hard time sending you an email. I will keep trying.
Okay. Thank you.
No, thank you.
Oh, thank you. That's right. And thank you, Penelope and Penny. Both. And, Penny, I was going to send you a friend request on Facebook. And lo and behold, when I went to do that, I found out we were already connected. So how about that? And you and I actually have many of the same Facebook friends, per se. I prefer to use Facebook friends' names as actually Facebook contacts. I think you become a friend when I get to know you better. But we have many of our similar Facebook friends are truly friends of mine who I've actually personally interacted with in everyday life. The one that jumps out right away is PK Hill. If you remember or know who she is, was blessed to take her to. I was actually blessed to be her escort driver, or Uber, as she calls me, lovingly and jokingly. I took her to her first event where she spoke at in Philadelphia, and so she's a very dear friend. But you have many on your list that I've actually personally interacted with. So. Happy you're already in my network and looking forward to supporting your work you're doing. And as you said, putting collaboration together, because as I say, and I'm certain you agree based off what I'm hearing so far, this is in no way a me effort by any stretch. This is going to require a we effort. And so I'm definitely looking forward to getting involved with what you're doing. And having our organization here interact with what your organization and obviously NASCA is doing. So we do have another absolutely, and thank you so much. I know the delay on the phone radio, on the Blog Talk Radio, can be a little confusing sometimes, but we do have one more panelist who's been patiently waiting. I'm going to bring Darlene out of Tennessee. Darlene, you are on with Penny.
Hello, Darlene. Sorry. Yeah, I had her. It's late. Okay. I do feel for you because my father was also in the military, and, you know, it just seems like so many people, you know, it's not just Boy Scouts or it's not just priest. It goes around, you know, different people and authority, you know. So I feel for you because I have been there as well, basically. But I wish I would have had people that actually spoke up for me. I'm the only voice now. But at least it's better to have a voice now than to never had a voice, I suppose.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, Darlene, and thank you for calling back in after you had some background noise problems. I do appreciate your courtesy with that, and glad you're able to get back on the show this evening. Well, Penny, we've gone through our first round of our panelists, and I'm going to put the mic back over in your hands and take the show wherever you want to go. Again, if you need me, lay my assistance. I'm here to walk through it with you.
Thank you for that. So I'm going to, there was a couple questions about the advocacy work. And so I'd like to touch a little bit on the Child Abuse Accountability Enhancement Act. So when this all happened, my brother did sue our biological father. I'm just going to name him Don Delosh. And he won a $5 million judgment. But due to the fact that Don is a military retiree, the government has some great laws in place that protect their retirement. And part of the purpose of this retirement protection, and there is some civil laws as well, is so that someone couldn't sue the neighbor because the pears are falling off their tree across the fence. And the ultimate reason, I guess, makes a little bit of sense, but in a situation where you're talking about horrific, violent, manipulative abuse, this law makes absolutely no sense. And so for 20 years, I had been writing letters and calling and emailing everyone I could think of to get some attention to this corrupt law, this law that is just literally protecting those that are doing these horrific crimes, but then also those that are, you know, collecting this retirement to live high on the hog later in life. And so in our case, Don, you know, collected this retirement the entire time he was in prison. And as we are trying to figure out, you know, after victim protection is expired, how do we pay for sling, and how do we continue to do the things we need to do to continue to heal and have functionable lives? And so 10 years passed. That's when a judgment like that would expire. And right before the 10 years, my brother had that judgment extended another 10 years. And as we're coming on the end of that second 10 years, no lawyers would touch it with a 10-foot pole because of the laws. I made a last-ditch effort by emailing several news media outlets in the Seattle area. And a couple days later, I received an email from a gentleman who said he was with one of our local ABC stations, Como News, and said he wanted to talk to me about my email. And I was just dumbfounded that I actually got a response. And like I said, it had been 20-plus years of trying to get someone's attention. And so I looked him up on the site to make sure this was a legitimate response. I got a hold of him on the phone. I've done hours of research on this. I have at least 6 inches worth of documents all related to the laws, and provided all the information I could. They did some, you know, fact-checking and research, and then connected me with a local congresswoman, Susan DelBene. I'm from North Washington and the north end of the Puget Sound. And she decided to be helpful and to help and met with me at the news station so that we could talk about this. And she went after it. And she presented it in the Senate, in the House, and was able to get it attached to the National Defense Accountability Act, that, or I'm not sure what the second A stands for, but basically the national act that happens and is signed off at the end of every year for funding of our military is basically what it is. And what they do is any laws or amendments or bills that they want to pass that has anything to do with services, military services, they try to attach those laws, requests and amendments and bills so that they get passed along with the NDAA. And so after her presenting that, we went through the election of the current president during that time. And then in December of 2017, we were able to see with our own eyes this law be signed into, or this bill be signed into law along with the NDAA. And it was an overwhelming moment. This was years and years and years of fighting. And I want to make it very clear, this law, the efforts that we put towards having this law passed, did absolutely nothing for my brother and I. Absolutely nothing. This law that I fought to have changed was so that children behind us can be protected and taken care of when they're trying to figure out what their next step is to just make it through the next day. And that's the sole purpose of this. This isn't about lining, you know, our pockets or doing something to make our lives better except for healing and helping others. But it's not about a monetary benefit in any way, shape, or form. And so that law has been passed. The Republican side of the House wanted a cap put on that law. So there's a 25% cap. That is something that we're fighting right now. And because of COVID, some things have been put on hold, but we're working to get that up. And like in our situation, let's say we were able to get a judgment and have payments being made. You know, our biological father, Don, is receiving not only his retirement at 100% disability, but he's also receiving monies for Agent Orange impacts to his health. And so he's living a good life. He's remarried and he has properties and he has what he needs. He doesn't have to worry about anything. And that's not the case for all of his victims. And I think that is a completely inappropriate way that should happen. And his abuse was done to family members that he was prosecuted for, which was my brother and I. So he was only a level one sex offender and only had to be registered for one single year in the state of Washington. And so unless you do a big, deep, dark background check through government agencies, the average person would never find him as unless they looked up court records. But he's not listed on any sex offender registry in the state of Washington. And so the marks against him, go ahead.
I'm sitting here with my – I'm literally picking my jaw up off of below wherever it was sitting a moment ago. Wow, I mean, the National Sex Offender Registry is very near and dear to my heart because Megan Kenka, who is the little girl that where Megan's Law came from, lived less than 2 miles from where I lived in 1994 in Hamilton, New Jersey. And I was part of a mass grassroots effort that helped the Kenka family after the murder of their daughter, Megan, and the arrest of Jesse Temendakis, who admitted to the murder, in getting Megan's Law pushed through New Jersey and across the country. And it's situations like what you just shared that's going on with your sexual abuser, the man who donated his whatever to, you know, I mean, the man without him, you wouldn't be here, but with what he did, the destruction of you or your childhood, then he would be able to just walk away. That law was made for cases such as this, for reporting the rest of life. And many places around the country. I've seen it watered down, and this is obviously a horrid case of it being extremely watered down. In my opinion, again, this is my opinion, not anything of NASCA, and I want to clarify that, or any of the people who support NASCA, this is Charles Specker's opinion only. But right now, I know in the state of New York, if you have COVID-19 and you're diagnosed with it, they will come put a label on your door saying that you are not to be coming out in the house. This house is under quarantine. I know that because my personal friend got one and sent me a picture of it, and I was shocked. Yet these sex offenders can come and go as they please, and some don't please and get themselves on the list. Their doors and their shirts and their foreheads, as far as I'm concerned, again, that's my opinion, should be carrying some sort of warning label for all of us. So to hear that that happened, that is definitely an area I want to help you, if you're endeavoring in that later, to change that. And I love what you said, and I support and second what you said, and the fact that many of us out here who are doing the work we're doing are not doing it to benefit us, because what should have happened to us and could have happened to us that didn't happen to us doesn't mean that we shouldn't be making sure it doesn't happen to generations to come. So, yeah, a lot of people, you know, when you're talking lawsuits, when you're talking things like that, my case, you know, my particular case, talking lawsuits as well, oh, you're just trying to get rich off of this. No, not at all. I actually just wanted, you know, it appalls me that things are still going on today that went on in your, you know, in your case, not that 20, 30 years ago, in my case, 50 years ago, are still in a system. It's just devastating. But thank you for allowing me to interrupt and say that. I was just sitting here going,
yeah,
everything we fought for in the memory of Megan is washed away with the swipe of a political pen, if you will say. It's horrid. And yes, I also know, as a counselor who works a lot with the VA and veterans in housing situations, you know, there is and I'm a veteran myself. I want to clarify, say that again. I have 5 generations of veterans. But there's an overprotection of veterans who are vile criminals that should be losing the benefits that were given to them for their service that aren't, and their family members, such as yourself, your brother, your mother, have to be left carrying the mantle of that with no relief, knowing that this other person is just going on with life as it is. And I hope that in some place in his mind, and possibly, you know, wherever, some sort of karma, or whatever word you want to use it, will come his way, and the vengeance that should be sought by you and your family, which I'm certain you're not doing in that aspect of negative vengeance, but justice will be served, and he will serve penance in some way. So just thank you for letting me share that with you. Wow. Yeah,
of course.
Whew, sorry, I got on a bit of a rant there, but man, that's just so... Yeah, 1994. I remember that like it was this morning. It was, you know, my daughter was Megan's age, and I was in California when the word got out what happened, and I immediately flew back because I wasn't sure if it was my daughter or not. And when I got home, I found there was a little girl a couple miles from us, and then I got heavily involved in it. But see, folks, this is why we need shows like this. We need shows, people to stand up, have voices heard. Megan's life was not in vain. And the law put in her name has been watered down, has been in some places they don't even consider it anymore. And in other places they've gone overboard with it. I know several places, Penny, and you may too, where if I, as a man or even a woman, if a man or woman got out and went to the side of the road and relieved themselves because they had to go to the bathroom, if a law enforcement officer saw them, they would be charged with a sexual offense and be put on a sex registry. I'm sorry, peeing on a tree or in the woods is not a sexual offense. Maybe it's something you shouldn't be exposing yourself, somebody can see you. But what you went through and your brother and your mother, holy crow, there's no way in the world that person should have, first of all, gotten out of jail. Secondly, ever been not on a sex offender list. Wow. Okay, I'm done. I'm off my thing. Whew. That just really grabbed me.
Yeah, it's I've been getting all the information that I need. It's actually handled by the police kind of area, and so there's a lot of work to be done that here. You know, I'm not saying that, and please, I don't want anybody to think that I'm not thinking that a random rape or anything like that, assault, sexual assault, is any different. But when you have a family member in a safe space abusing a child, sexually, physically, emotionally, that is a very violent, calculated, manipulative event. And, you know, in the state of Washington anyway, sex offenses, sex offenders are labeled based on their, like, most likely to reoffend. But when you're talking about a child and you're talking about an abuser, a sexual abuser of a child, in my research, and I'm not by any means a researcher or a doctor or a psychiatrist or a psychologist, but, you know, that's not something that urge, that whatever it is that they have wrong with them, doesn't just go away. And in the case of our abuser, there are two cousins that he had made advances that are molestation, assaulted, touched, in ways that shouldn't have happened. And one he raped. And so I just really think that when we're talking about family members and we're talking about these people who are abusing children, I'm assuming, and all the ones that I've researched, there is always seems to be more than one victim. And so I just think it's very, very important that we really get attention to this. And I think even the level one should be listed somewhere so that families are aware that these people have raped and molested children somewhere along the lines. And I absolutely despise headlines that say, this 40-year-old man had sex with a 12-year-old. That 40-year-old man did not, or woman, did not have sex with a 12-year-old. He or she raped the 12-year-old. And we've got to change our language. We've got to call it like it is. And adults having sex with kids is not a thing. Adults raping kids is a thing. And we need to be very, very clear in the language. So, Charlie, I'll put it over to you for the panel.
Well, thank you. And let me get the panel in here because I'm still sitting here shaking my head going, okay, tickets to Washington State, got to get out there, got to see what we can do. And, all right, so let's go ahead and get the panel in here. Joe from Oregon, I'm bringing you on. You are back on with Penny.
Thank you. Oh, Penny, I admire you. You are taking action and you are really in there for the those who've suffered that child sex abuse. I had a question about the statute of limitations in Washington State. The reason is that I'm working with someone who is trying to eliminate the statute of limitations for civil cases throughout the country for child sex abuse. And so I was wondering how that's going. And also, you had mentioned earlier about your organization, Brave and Unbroken, and we're saying, you know, the plans that you have. And I was wondering, you said something about working together with others. One of the groups that I'm working with, too, is looking at working with others. So if you could just sort of explain a little bit more about what you envision coming up and how and what you would need, you know, what kind of help you would need.
Sure.
With your group.
So I'll start with, yeah, no problem. I'll start with the statute of limitations. So last year we were able to get the statute of limitations for criminal charges related to child abuse, child sexual abuse, or rape. That has been taken care of in our state. Finally, that has been moved and taken away. So it doesn't matter when the child is ready. That's open. Civilly, though,
so
as you know, in the state of Washington.
So you've removed it.
Oh, go ahead.
Okay. No,
yeah,
sorry.
On the criminal
side. Actually removed it? Whoa, nice. Yay,
yeah,
Washington.
On the criminal
go
side.
Ahead.
That. Yeah.
I'm excited.
But yeah, me too. But for the civil piece of it, that's a whole nother ball game. And there are still direct limitations related to that. And it's, and I don't know the exact formula, but it's like so many years past this date of that date of whatever, whatever, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's still there. Mm-hmm. And that's the next one that we're working on. And I say we as in are Brave and Unbroken, but we're trying to partner with as many people as we can to gather together. Because when these things,
okay, well,
when we go ahead.
No, I'd like to I'll go off of your website and talk with you about possibilities. So thank you.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That would be fantastic. So there you go.
Thank you so much. Wow, this is great. You're a mover. I like that. I like that. Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you once again, Joe, for being on our panel and being my co-host on many a Wednesday night. I know this evening our amazing next panel member, Bill, is my co-host this evening. I do appreciate what Bill's doing. I want to thank him publicly for that this evening. Bill, you are back on the air with Penny.
Oh, it's my pleasure to do this whenever I need it, or scheduled. The current civil statute of limitation in Washington, D.C. can be looked up at sol-reform.com, and that's a website you should be aware of, too, if you're not. It's done by Marcy Hamilton, who is a professor and a law expert, a lawyer in her own right, of course. And she is a survivor, and she goes around and testifies wherever changes in statutes are possible, all the legislatures and so forth have heard from her. NASCA is a co-signatory to her work. In fact, you'll see us on the front page of her website, and we've been there for years. They have all the states listed both for their criminal and their civil current statutes and information about whether any progress is foreseen. In other words, if there's any movement in the future. So it's a pretty good website, sol-reform.com. Marcy Hamilton. We want to participate in any way we can with extending statutes and eliminating them, frankly. We've had some success, but there's still a resistance to things like the window of opportunity that would have given you and your brother perhaps a chance to recoup some kind of civil action, do some kind of civil action. And in my case, I'm in one of them right now. In Washington State, because there they reformed the statute for civil, but they still didn't extend it far enough for me. But they did allow a window for 1 year. Window simply means a window of opportunity for those who are not knowledgeable about this. You can still, no matter what your age, sue for 1 year, and then the window closes. But at least they give you a chance. Now, we want them to eliminate them completely. So anybody, anytime can bring cases either civilly or criminally. But every state is different, and every state is different both criminally and civilly within the state. So I do recommend that website if you want to find pretty accurate information, current information about what the current statute is, but also whether or not there's any movement towards, extending it. This is a huge, hugely important thing to all survivors. I waited fully, 50 plus years for my first opportunity, which happened this year, to bring a suit. That's a long time for a kid to wait, kid that's no longer a kid. But it's important to do it if you can. Not so much for any kind of reward you might get from it, but because every time we do, it puts on notice the powers that be, and in my case, it's the Catholic Church. But in other cases, it's the military. In other cases, it's the Boy Scouts. All these things have been mentioned. And in other cases, it's not. Doesn't matter if it's military or not. It's still mom or dad. It matters.
Yeah.
So anything that has to do, I like what you said about, CSA, childhood sexual abuse. It's a rape. I was raped many, 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 many times. And other offenses were done against me, including tons of pornography and so forth as a kid. It's not right. You live with the consequences of that basically forever, but the impact of them, of course, has lessened a great deal for me, and I want to make that promise to people who are here and perhaps new. You don't get rid of your story, but you do find lots of tools and methods to have less of an impact and more of an opportunity to have hope and a better life. So thank you again for being on, Penny, and God bless you for the work you're doing.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. I'm going to go ahead and get ready to bring on Mary Ellen from New York next. I just want to toss in there a bit of not making it personal about my story because it isn't. So I just want to, it's wonderful and awesome to see finally sexual abuse, childhood sexual abuse victims being able to have some level of something with statutes being moved around and changed. And I look forward to that day when those of us who experienced the child abuse that I and my brother did, which caused his murder, can actually have something to stand on, because I've been waiting 53 years to begin to be able to get justice for him. And to this very day, still have not even gotten his record. So, but it's wonderful that I too am a sexual child with childhood sexual assault, overcomer, thriver, warrior, through overexposure to pornography at much too young of an age, which any age is not the right age. But so I just wanted to say that I'm wonderful. It's wonderful and amazing that our sexual abuse survivors are at least getting something out of it. Not enough, not nearly what it needs to be, and not nearly as fast as it should be. But so thank you so much. Thank you for allowing me to do that. I do want to also say that, folks, an hour and a half sounds like a long time when we start these shows and people go, boy, an hour and a half, can I make it through there as a guest? Can I make it there on the panel? And when you get here, you see how fast an hour and a half flies by, because we're already a little over an hour into this show. And I want to remind you, if you do want to call in and be on our panel, you're welcome to, and we will be more than happy to have you come in. Our call in number 646-595-2118. Again, the call in number 646-595-2118. And Penny, I appreciate your patience and allowing me to break in with my little bits and pieces here and there. I am doing my taking my own advice and keeping them hopefully centered around your story and what you're here for tonight. So let's go to Mary Ellen in New York. Hey, Mary Ellen, you are on.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, there's a lot to be learned. I'm enjoying hearing all this information, all your hard work. I'm impressed that at the ability to just so freely speak about things that you've been able to accomplish. That's amazing. And I don't know, I guess in my case, everything's been a secret for so long. So this has been really interesting to be able to listen to others, be able to express and know that there's the opportunity. So thank you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Let me tell you, Charlie, Mary Ellen and I communicated. She was willing to take this slot. Then that would have been the first time she tells her story, basically, in a forum, anything like this. She probably will do it shortly down the road because Penny had stepped forward already. But Mary Ellen, we are going to be there for you. We do understand how difficult it can be or how fearsome it can be, you know, how fearful you might feel. But we want you to know we've all done it and we've all survived and we all feel better to some degree, maybe not immediately after, but within a couple of days, the burden's gone. It's not gone, but it's lifted a great deal. We're going to be right here to support you, and you're going to be perfectly fine when it comes the night that you do it too, Mary Ellen. So God bless you, and thank you for volunteering.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Hey there, Charlie.
Is anybody there? Penny, are you there?
Sorry, I'm here. I apologize. My doggy was having a momentary of not feeling well. I muted so he wouldn't hear it, and then all of a sudden I was talking away and realized, oh shoot, I was muted. What I wanted to say was, I was saying was, Mary Ellen, I had no idea until just now that you were going to possibly be our guest tonight, and that you were already getting ready to become a guest in the future, and I applaud you, and I think you're doing an amazing thing to come on tonight, get the feel for the energy that you're going to get when you do your show, and hopefully it's that energy that knows that you're safe, you're surrounded by love, you're surrounded by support, and I will tell you and our special guest tonight and anyone else who's ever a special guest on this show or calls into the show or listens to the show in the future, get on the NASCA website if you need to talk to somebody. There are many phone numbers, present party included, and many others that you can call. 24/7, there's always someone from the NASCA family available. So, I'm excited to hear when your show's going to be. And whether I am the host or just someone who will call in on the panel, which is important, we need panel members, I will be there to support you. So wonderful news. Thank you, Bill, for letting me know about that.
Thank you.
Okay, so next we're going to Penny, and I apologize to my listening audience and to my special guest that I was muted there for a moment. I just rescued a pit bull a few weeks ago, and she's been having some digestive issues, and I muted and didn't realize I left it on. But in the meantime, let's go ahead and get to Penelope from Washington. Penelope, you are back on with Penny.
Thank you, Charlie. And Penny, my childhood nickname is Penny, but I do go by Penelope now. So every time Penny, I jerk my head to attention. So if we're in the same room, don't be offended if I turn my head as you turn your head.
Yeah, my legal name is Penelope as well, so I understand.
Oh, is it? Is it? Yeah, I know. I took the risk because I still get a lot of Penelopes and Penelopes, but once one of the Kardashians names their kid Penelope, it's like not as often, I'll tell you that. but it's a beautiful name, I think. So it's a privilege to meet another Penelope. So, you know, I, as you know, live in Bellevue, Washington, and my huge beef with, I think, with the United States, I think it's more of a federal issue, but at a state level and at a school district level, they do not educate these children, especially the Issaquah School District, on domestic violence. In fact, my school district, where my sons have gone to school, is the only school district in this area that will not allow, I don't know if you're familiar with LifeWire, but they're in Bellevue.
Yeah.
They are domestic. Yeah. They are the only school district that won't even allow Ward to come in with his group to present information and education on childhood abuse and domestic violence. And I think mm-hmm. that is a crime. And I don't know if you have looked or advocated or thought about it, or Brave No Broken has looked. To me, it's just negligent for any school system, I think, in this country to not, if they're going to educate the kids about all the other things that are on that flash curriculum when they get into fifth grade, sixth grade, it needs to be a mandated part of the curriculum at as early an age as appropriate. And it just,
I agree.
That is my, so my question is, has that been any of your work or in your thought process or in the plans for, you know, your organization?
Yeah, so we have advocated for the, and this is a touchy topic for people, so I'm just going to state my position, and if those are listening disagree, I understand, but I'm going to share my thoughts. So we passed this year in the state of Washington a requirement for K through 12 of comprehensive sexual education, sex ed. And what I want to say about that is that the curriculums have not been identified for all ages, and the lower grades, K through 6, is really more about the social and emotional part of their bodies and safety. And I believe it to be a very important thing. I think that children need to be taught about consent at a very young age. I think they need to be taught how to talk about their bodies at a very young age, and they need to understand what's right and what's wrong and what's okay and what's not okay. And I've had this argument with many folks this past 12 months that it is not always happening in the home. And my case is a perfect example. My mom was very protective and careful about the outside world, and it was happening within the world. Sex was not talked about in my home. And it's just very vital that we don't leave it up to just families. We need to, you know, it needs to be age responsible, but it needs to be there. Something needs to be there, and I think it's important, and I'll reach out to everyone here in Washington who's listening to please plug into your school district and help develop the curriculums and vote on curriculums that are age appropriate that fall into the category of comprehensive sex ed.
Well, I mean, I couldn't agree more. I just, it's where, it's how you pull it through, especially during this crisis, to get their attention. and to really pull it through and not to have, I mean, it's great that the law passed in the state of Washington, but the implementation and interpretation of it are right there. It's just, that's the next step. And when interpretation is left to just that, you know, that's what you get is there's, you know, you're left to interpretation. And so I'm a woman and it's not my show, not my story, but I just turned 50 years old and it wasn't until 2 years ago that I finally, because you get just stuck in that pattern of thought as a child, it never dawned on me that I had the right to be safe and when I was growing up in my home. It never dawned on me that what happened to me was a violation of my own human rights and the rights that I have living as a citizen in this country. And I'm an educated woman. So, you know, I think we need to begin earlier to educate these kids. Because if there are adults not stepping up and intervening when appropriate, kids should be able to know and feel confident that they're supported and that they can identify things that are not right.
Agreed.
And that really resonated with me when you told your story. You felt you kept it within, even within your own home, even when your brother told his truth to your mother, you still remained silent.
Yeah.
And of course, I know why. I mean, I've been there myself. But anyway, I know I'm just preaching to the choir.
Yeah, and I think, you know, we're getting ready. Like this law was just signed in February or March. And so through the summer and into 2021, there'll be, I think there's a deadline like of the 2021 or 2022 school year. I think the 2022 school year, but again, so vitally important as guardians and adults that we get involved in our school districts to help build this curriculum. Let's not leave it up to the educators. Let's not leave it up to the administration. It's very, very important. And kids need to know exactly that they'll be heard. They need to know that they'll be safe. And that's every single adult's responsibility in every part of the world.
Right. And it's not punitive to speak up. Absolutely.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for what you're doing and thank you for all that you've done within the education system. So I'm looking forward to connecting with you after the show.
Thank you.
So I have to ask some questions because Charlie's going to give me the gong. I know it because I'll ask like five more questions if he just lets me keep going. I say that with love, Charlie.
May not realize that you're still muted, perhaps. Charlie,
yeah,
you might be muted there.
Really?
We're not hearing you.
Well, the
okay.
Sweet dog has some gas
in her. I'm back. Yes, I'm back. I apologize. And no, there's no gong ringing, but there is a dog getting sick in the background again. So once again, thanks, Bill, for the general reminder. The mute is on. I don't want to interrupt or anything, but no, it's not about gonging, but I like how you put that. But, yeah, it is just making sure everybody has an opportunity to get on that calls into the panel. But you always come in with really good questions that need answers and should be heard. So I appreciate you. I was saying, I was joking, and I was like, they're not responding. What's going on? And then Bill let me know I was muted. But I was saying, so good thing I don't have two pennies on the show tonight because we all be getting the 2 cents worth. But it's all good. So,
Oh, boy.
And yes, I know. Don't worry, Bill. I won't give up my day job as soon as I can. And, folks, you may be listening right now or you may be listening in the future going, why are they laughing? This is serious stuff. We know it's serious. We understand that we're all survivors, thrivers, wherever you are in your stage of recovery, maybe you're just beginning. We understand the severity of it and the fact that it's not funny. But we do have to, you do have to once in a while have a little, let yourself feel some humor. Because it relieves some of that burden, that mantle we're carrying. So the laughter is not at the subject matter. It's at the silly, stupid jokes that Charlie says sometimes that make no sense, but just get people to laugh anyway. So, Penelope, thank you so much. And Bill, thank you for gently bringing me back from my muted state. I'm going to go ahead and move on to Darlene from Tennessee, who's been patiently waiting to get back on. Darlene, you're back on with Penny.
Hello. I'm glad we got to hear about their 2 cents worth, you know. That's pretty interesting, you know. too, Penny. And I was thinking about the song Penny Lover, you know. But anyway, I really do admire you and the fortitude that you have to keep striving and bring this awareness into other people and, you know, open people's eyes. And I have one question. Did your mother ever remarry?
No, she did not.
Oh, okay. She made sure to take care of y'all, I suppose, put that as number one.
Yeah, she was very committed to us and to her grandchildren until she passed away in 2014 of lung cancer.
Oh, I'm sorry for the loss.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And I too am sorry for your loss, Penny. While you know, I'm fairly certain you know you lost her here on Earth, but her spirit is alive within you, and her soul, I'm certain, and her angelic wings are surrounding you every day, as well as your brother. Which leads me to my question, if you mind. I know a lot of folks, and I respect that, don't want to talk about their sibling or their other person involved because it's their story. But just, I guess, short, just how is your brother these days? Do you guys keep in contact? What's going on with him? How's he handling everything?
Yeah, we do maintain contact, and he does struggle. I would assume, you know, I'm not a male survivor, so I don't want to make a bunch of assumptions, but it's just it has its own challenges, and also feeling as though our, you know, biological father has not paid the dues. It's made it quite difficult for him, and so I just want everybody to know, like, you just really have to, as much as we want to give up, and as hard and challenging as things are, it's really important, I found for myself, and I'm not going to speak for everybody, but to halt the continued victimization of myself, and to not allow those things to continue to weigh on me. And I just really feel strongly about that. And it's not an easy thing. It's an important piece of healing, is to move beyond re-victimization. And it takes a lot of work, and it takes a really good community of folks. But it really is a key in the healing factor for myself. And as we know, shame loves silence, and we want to break that. And that's the whole purpose of Brave and Unbroken and NASCA and all the other organizations that are doing similar work, is creating platforms for survivors to have voices, like this radio show, the Brave and Unbroken podcast. Being able to, I think, all victims of child abuse survive in some way, and they're surviving in silence. But when you can step into the light and you can survive out loud, it brings a whole new layer of healing.
I agree, and I agree again. I want to say this, that if your brother should happen to need, and I respect and totally agree with what you said about male, or the difference between male and female, I say the same thing. I can't identify with what a female may or may not be going through, because I am not one. I can have a general understanding as a human being, but when it gets deeper, so I want to offer my phone number to you to share with your brother if he should need someone to talk to, want someone to vent with, or just someone to listen to without saying anything back to him. And so I will make sure you have that number before the end of the show. Because many of our numbers, there's many men, you're very welcome. There's many men, Bill, myself, numerous men. If you steer your brother through the NASCA.org website, through there, there's many of us out here that will walk with him and wherever he needs to be. I allow people to be on their journey. I don't push them on where I think their journey should be. I let them. Where they are is where they are, and I support them in that position, because at the end of the day, it's their story and they're responsible for writing it. But we are winding down to the last 6 or 7 minutes of the show. It's really sometimes it's a little bit longer, because I got a minute or two late start. But we're winding down to about the last 10 minutes, let's say. And we have gone through our panel twice, which is really cool. And we've been able to make it twice. And what I'll be doing before the end of the show, Penny, I'll be making sure we get each panel member back in to give some final words and bid you a fond farewell. I don't say goodbye. I always say see you later. But in the meantime, we have a few more moments. And whatever's on your heart to share, just go ahead. You've been just amazing answering questions tonight. Nothing rehearsed and just coming at you, and it's wonderful. And we've been able to have Mary Ellen on here preparing herself to come on the show, and so she can get a framework. Just really a great night. Stories I wish we didn't have to have, but at the same time, glad that we have the voices that are the volumes being turned up on voices that were silenced for too long.
Yes, absolutely. And I just wanted to say to Mary Ellen that I, as well as probably everyone on this call and who's listening, we see you and we hear you and we believe you and are here to lift you up. So thank you for your courage and building up to when you're ready to share your story. So thank you for being here. The last thing I want to say before I turn it back over to you, Charlie, is that number one, thanks to NASCA and to Charlie and Bill and everyone who's involved in this network for the great work. But we've got to change as a country, as humans, as adults, we've got to change the conversation. We have to change our efforts, and we need to be talking about what's happening. We need to talk about the rape of children. We need to talk about child sexual abuse, physical abuse, emotional abuse. We can no longer, as adults in our world, put our heads in the sand like an ostrich. We have to have our eyes, our ears, our minds, and our hearts wide open. And no matter what your gut says, if you have any inkling or any feeling that there is a child at risk, you're a mandated reporter. I don't care what your job is. You're responsible to step up, make a phone call, ask for a wellness check, report something that seems strange in the store. Human trafficking is a big deal right now. If you're in a public space and there's a child that seems out of place and uncomfortable, call 911 and ask for a wellness check. It's our responsibility as adults. It's not the responsibility of the children. It's us as adults to stand up, start changing the conversation, start knowing who the abusers are, and to really change the language in the conversation. So this is something that the shame is just totally blown out of the water. It's no longer in silence. And that's the purpose of Brave and Unbroken Project and our efforts under the acronym HEARE. And I'm excited to connect with all of you and continue to push these efforts forward. So thanks so much for having me.
And thank you. And thank you for just jumping in and filling in the gap, being willing to fill the space. Mary Ellen, I do believe that your position of initially possibly being on tonight's show was pushed where it is because you were afforded the opportunity to come here. And again, I'm really hoping that you feel the love, the support that surrounds you already and will be here with you when you are prepared to share what you're ready to about your story. And another amazing evening. Thank you for putting up with Charlie's technical difficulties with his doggy that appears to be having some health issues. We'll get them checked tomorrow. Just thank you, Bill, for jumping in as the co-host and filling in the gap when I forgot to unmute myself. You said something several times, Penny, and it resonates with me in reference to children and their voices. And for far too many years, the understanding or the belief that shouldn't have been there was children should be seen and not heard. And we know that that's not true, nor should it ever been. And we need to empower children and adults and with the understanding that not only should children should be heard, because you can hear anything and it can bounce off your eardrums and just go into the abyss, but they also need to be listened to, which means then we take what they tell us and we let it become a seed that finds itself germinating in our minds, which then would cause a third thing, which would be a reaction to it, not a distraction or detraction from it. How many children have gone through things? How many of us as children were sharing with people what was going on, and it was, oh, you must have done something wrong, or, oh, that's not possible, that's happening. Children need to know that when they come forward to adults, that, yes, they are going to be listened to, heard to, and acted upon. And you also said something that is very, very true, and boy, if the world could get a hold of this, the world, every adult, and you're going to hear when I close the show out tonight what I share with, but every adult is a mandated reporter. I use different words, so, but I'm going to go ahead and bring our panel on so each can say, give you a good evening, good night, and a farewell. Let me do that because I just got a little bit of a warning that things are going to end. So let's get on first, Joe from Oregon. Joe, you're back on for a fond farewell to Penny.
Okay, thank you. Penny and whoever else asked, there is federal legislation called Aarons Law, ErinsLaw.org, that mandates sexual abuse prevention. So just wanted to tell you that. So you have something to wrap around. Thank you so much, Penny, and I look forward to talking with you more about your project and what you're doing. Thank you.
Thank you.
And next we're going to go to Bill.
In a couple of moments, our audio will cut out for those who are listening on the computer, but somebody mentioned that they're preaching to the choir. I think Mary Ellen said it best when she said, you know, she was already impressed by the honesty and the sharing and so forth. And that, I hope, is the experience of those who are listening who perhaps are newcomers. Is it's not just the people here, and we don't do it for us so much. We do it for Mary Ellen, yes, but for also the listener out there who's brand new to this issue. Charlie, thanks for a great show, and Penny, once more, thanks again for your participation.
Thanks, Bill.
Thank you, Bill. And next we're going to go to Mary Ellen out of New York.
Yeah, I just want to say thank you to everyone. You've been wonderful tonight, and it's been a great show, and I'm glad that I called in. Thank you.
And we're glad you called in as well, Mary Ellen. Thank you so much. And next we're going to Penelope out of Washington.
Well, I just want to wish the other Penelope out of Washington, my fellow Washington warrior out here. It was really nice to get to know you over the show, and I look forward to hearing more about your efforts in the future. And thank you so much. You are very inspiring.
Thank you.
Thank you, Penelope. And next, Darlene in Tennessee.
Well, I want to thank you for coming and sharing with us about what was that web page again?
No, braveandunbroken.com.
Brave and Unbroken.
I thought that was important to mention that again. And so thank you so much. And Mary Ellen, I look forward to hearing from you soon. And thank you for being so brave, Penny.
Thank you.
You're another ship.
And thank you. And thank you, Darlene. Folks, Penny, just once again, thank you personally from me, Charlie, and the NASCA family, and your patience this evening with my technical difficulties and my little pet doggy here that's having some illness issues. Folks, this has been the Stop Child Abuse Now radio show brought to you by NASCA, the National Association of Adult Survivors of Child Abuse. I've been blessed once again this evening to be your host. My name is Charlie Stecker. And as I close each show every week when I'm in the host, I say this. The only adult that is not responsible for child abuse intervention and or prevention is any adult who themselves was never a child. Good night, be blessed, stay encouraged, and know you're not alone.
Another tomorrow, 'cause that dawn was
Blog Talk Radio.